Morning, everybody. The message I have for you this morning is not the one advertised in the bulletin. You ever have a bad week? I don't know if I'm the only one, you know. Fight all week with the wife or the husband or the kids or just nothing goes right. It was a bad week this week. It was one that really didn't lend itself to getting anything accomplished that was meaningful. I did my due diligence and worked hard sitting at my desk, staring at my computer screen, thumbing through my Bible, staring at my computer screen, staring at the keyboard and the mouse, looking over my old notes and abandoned thoughts. Maybe I'd find something there, praying, oh God, what am I going to preach on Sunday? And eventually got something done. I never really liked it. It didn't really bring any excitement or inspiration. But, you know, my job's to have something to preach about, right? So I pressed ahead. But as I laid in bed this morning, changed my mind, and I quickly wrote up some new notes. So the exciting thing is I'm not even really sure what I've got here in my notes. The title of my message, I've changed it to time, just simply time. You start out life feeling like you have so much time, but it's not long before you realize that life goes by and time goes by very, very quickly. We often joke that the older you get, the faster time goes by, and boy, let me tell you what, it is true. It's not a joke. It's not just something that we say. It is reality. Every passing year goes by quicker than the last. Time moves faster now for me than at any other point in my life. This morning, it's hard for me to believe, but, well, they're probably landing in Orlando right now. My two older kids have gone off on vacation all alone. It's not the first time they've done that, but every time that they take off on vacation by themselves, I think to myself, surely I'm not that old. And my kids are just going off on vacation without me. This past weekend, we celebrated Hannah's birthday. It's hard for me to imagine that 19 years ago on a cold and very, very, very like blizzard-like night, that she was born. And she isn't even the oldest. I've got one that's 22. Somebody said to me this week that I don't look old enough to have a 19-year-old. And again, I said, well, guess what? I've got a 22-year-old with a big smile on my face. In the same manner, it's hard to believe that a little boy came into our lives almost 2 years ago. It seems just like yesterday he appeared on the front porch. And yet, it's been 2 years. And yet, it seems like he's been a part of our family forever. Time marches on. Likewise, it's hard for me to believe that this past January marked 13 years in full-time ministry. I can still remember the first day on the job, my first job in full-time, our first day in full-time ministry, I sat in the office in front of my computer screen. Some things never change. And I thought to myself, what do I do now? Somebody made a mistake. How did I end up here? But time goes on. It marches on. One thing I've done through the years since I started preaching is try to keep a record of all my old notes and what I've taught. And it's good to look back and see what areas I've touched on and what I've yet to preach about. Sometimes I look back and I see messages that I preached 3, 5, 10 years ago. And I can remember some of them so clearly. And I sit there and I think, that was a good message. And that was a really good one. And boy, I was on fire that day. And sometimes I look back and I go, boy, that was really bad. And boy, I really missed it that week. And boy, I remember that. I didn't ever want to preach again. But time goes by in a hurry. I suspect we all have unfulfilled dreams and that there are things that we were sure we would do in this life, and yet time has slipped away. And something has prevented us from doing all those things we were just sure we would do. Sometimes it's our own laziness. Sometimes it's a lack of resources. Many reasons why we don't do the things in life that we thought we might or the things that we want to do. But the reality is, again, time is speeding by for each of us. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We make plans and we dream big dreams. We set goals and we work hard. Yet again, we do not know what will happen even tomorrow, let alone a year from now. James says in James chapter 4, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." That's what your life is. That's what my life is. It's a mist. It's a vapor. It's something that's fleeting. It's here one moment and then disappears. Past 9 days, 3 people that I knew passed away. One was a dear older saint named Charlene. Charlene was a delight to be around. I tell you, she loved God with all her heart. I've known Charlene since I was a little kid running around the campground up at White River. It seems like, to me, she's always been there. Like, since 1887, some days I think she's been there. Charlene loved to talk about the Lord. Years that I've done Bible study up there, Charlene and her sister Sharon would always trap me afterwards, and they would ask question after question after question, and what do you think about this, and what about this scripture, and what are your views on this? And then she'd say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you probably have something to do, we need to let you go," and then she'd ask like another 9 or 10 questions. I have no doubt where Charlene resides this morning, though. Her soul is with the Lord. But her life, full as it was, slipped away like a mist. Here for a short moment, and then it was gone. Time ran out. Yesterday, I helped in the memorial service of a young man named Matthew. Matthew was just 18 years old. He had a beautiful smile that lit up the room wherever he went. I didn't know Matthew that well, but I always will remember his smile. I first met Matthew, like Charlene, at the camp up in White River. And the first time I really took note of him was in the evening service. Some of you know Pastor Jim Loomer. Jim Loomer was preaching that night, and he was talking about the priesthood and how the priests were consecrated and set aside for the Lord. And he asked for a volunteer, and Matthew jumped right up and with a big grin on his face came down to the front of the tabernacle. And Jim pulled out this huge vial of oil. And he said, "Now, Matthew, I'm going to show everybody with you how the priests were consecrated." And they said what they did was they would pour this vial of oil over their heads. And Matthew stood there with a big grin as Pastor Jim poured that oil all over his head. And it ran down off the top of his head and into his ears and down into his eyes and over his nose and down over his shoulders, onto his chest and onto his back. And I don't think he ever stopped grinning. And when Jim was done pouring that oil, he said, "You can go." And Matthew just went and sat down in his seat, stayed with that oil all over him through the church service. But Matthew lost control of his car a week ago Friday and hit another car head on. Time ran out. Matthew's life was like a vapor, a mist here one moment and gone the next. Like my friend Charlene, I have absolute certainty that Matthew was with the Lord. See, the same year at camp, he accepted the Lord as his Savior and went on to be baptized. I asked how his walk with the Lord was and was told that he was recently, just in the past weeks, trying to get another man to accept the Lord as his Savior. He was preaching the gospel to others. But again, he was here one moment and then gone the next. Again, time ran out. Today, I will go to the memorial service of the father of one of my best friends. He left this world early last Sunday morning, sometime in the night. Again, we believe he is in heaven with the Lord because of his profession of faith. But last Sunday morning, time ran out. Do you get the feeling time is not on our side? At least not here in this world. Time is ticking away. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Time is fleeting. Time is a commodity that we treasure. And yet none of us know how much time we really have. The wise man Solomon reminds us to put whatever time we have to good use. In what is perhaps one of the most depressing passages of Scripture in all of the Bible, Solomon says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light of the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few. And those who look out the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. Because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity." He then goes on to say, "The end of the matter is this. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or bad." If you don't get what Solomon's talking about here, Solomon is very poetically talking about growing old. He's talking about when your eyes go blind and the sun's not so bright and the night is really, really dark and you look out the windows of your eyes and you can't see through them. I can't think of what the word I'm trying to say here. But they're faded. Your ears, they grow deaf. And you can't hear the mill grinding, but then you wake up at the sound of a quiet little bird. And life has no pleasure in it anymore. Your teeth have fallen out and you've only got a few left. And the the blossoms have all turned white. He's talking about your hair growing gray and white. He says, it's all vanity. All of life is vanity. He said, remember God in your youth, when you still have good days, before you wish your life would just fade away and dust would return to the earth and your soul would go back to God. Remember God in your youth, because before you know it, you're going to grow old. Time is slipping away. Solomon says, use it wisely. Again, remember your Creator in your youth. Fear God, for God will judge every deed, every secret thing, good or bad. Time is ticking. So with the rest of the time you've consented to give me this morning, I want to offer the most important of messages that I could ever bring. You know, we live in a time of self-help sermons, funny jokes and illustration, where so much of the time as preachers and teachers, we try to keep people entertained. We forget the most important message that we could ever preach, perhaps the most simplest message we could preach, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I stood in a gym yesterday filled with what had to be 500 or 600 people, most of whom were unsaved. I thought to myself, even in the face of the tragedy that has brought everyone here, what a privilege and an opportunity to present the gospel to the lost. I felt such a conviction there for the need of the preaching of the simple gospel of salvation. Each person in that room yesterday, just like each person in this room today, their clock is ticking. Each second brings them closer to the sounding of the buzzer, which will signal game over. Time up. And again, none of us know when that buzzer will sound. Time is ticking. Now, the gospel is simply the good news of salvation through Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. But we need the good news because there's bad news. I don't know if you know that. We need the good news because there's bad news. And so in the proper order of things, I'll give you the bad news first, and then I'll give you the good news. The bad news is, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but you're a sinner. And we've all been condemned to hell. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. Paul goes on in Romans to explain that death entered the world through the sin of one man. And that sin spread and infected every human being that has lived on the face of this earth. And there is not one of us that is innocent. There is not one of us that has met God's standard. We all fall short of the glory of God. Paul then goes on to say, for the wages of sin, the price of our sin is death. Romans 6:23. That's the bad news. You and I have been condemned to die, not just an earthly death, but an eternal death in hell, the worst place that you could imagine. And that is the price of the sins that you and I have committed. That's the bad news, but there's good news. Amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The cost of sin is death. The bad news is if there is sin, then someone must die. But the good news is that Jesus came. God came and he became flesh and blood. He became a man and he took our place, living a sinless life. He went to the cross and died for you and me. Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Again, God became a man and lived a perfect life in order to die in our place. You see, because only a perfect man could die and pay for the sin of others. Death had no right over him because he had no sin. And so when death took him in his icy grip, it broke the power of death, not only for the Lord Jesus, but death's grip over you and I. And Jesus proved this by rising again on the third day, alive forevermore. And should we go down into the ground, he is the one that can raise us up to new life. How is it that this good news saves us? The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And so first we accept Jesus as Lord. We believe in our hearts that he died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead. We accept that sacrifice for our sins. And then we go on to repent of those same sins and we live our lives as one who has been bought with a price, whose life is not their own. And we live for the glory of God, for the one who died for us. Now you might say, that's a strange thing to preach here in a church, preacher. Surely everyone here in this place is saved. I got news for you. Jesus said there would be many who thought that they were saved who were not. Listen to Matthew 13 for a moment. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. In this parable, Jesus is talking about the gospel. He's teaching on the gospel and salvation. He says the sower, the evangelist, goes out to sow the seed of the gospel. Some seed gets eaten before it even hardly hits the ground. And then there are those who hear the gospel, but the enemy has so hardened their hearts it has no effect and the seed cannot take root. They are lost. Then there are those in whom the seed of the gospel takes root in and it grows quickly, but then something happens because it didn't go deep. And very quickly the sun withers away the seedling as it grows and they end up lost. Then there are those who hear the gospel, but the enemy comes and thorns choke it out. They too, like the ones in the shallow ground, end up lost. Then there are the ones upon whom the seed of the gospel falls and it finds good soil. The roots go deep, it grows strong, and they are saved. And so just because you are here in church this morning does not mean that your eternity is secure. Just because the gospel has found some foothold in your life does not mean that your eternity is secure. The gospel might be in shallow soil or it might have fallen among thorns. You might believe that but that belief is surely under attack from the enemy. Remember I said I wasn't sure what I had here in my notes? It's like the old saying. Sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian than any more than standing in the garage makes you a car. Jesus said that not everyone who says they believe truly believes. In one of the most frightening passages of Scripture, Jesus said this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left,
Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you do not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus said there will be those that will say, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We preached in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And he'll say, but I never knew you. See, there are many people who attend church as fire insurance. You know what fire insurance is, right? Just in case someday the house burns down, you've got insurance against it. That's the way some people treat God. He's fire insurance. Church is fire insurance. I go to church every once in a while. I might make it even every week. I throw some money in the offering plate because that's what God's really concerned about, right? And just in case there really is a God and there really is a hell, I've got into heaven. Others who believe that just simply good works make up for the bad stuff they do. And so just so long as they keep the scales kind of on the good side, God doesn't really send bad people to, or good people to hell, only bad people, right? Guess what? I've got news for you. There are no good people. How many of us have sinned? All. How many of us have fallen short of the glory of God? All. I think I upset somebody the other day. We were talking about a situation. I was giving them some counsel, and I don't want to give all the details to the situation, but they were talking about this person, and then they said, you know, it's not like he was he's not a really bad guy. And I said, hold on, put the brakes on right there. I said, I'm going to have to disagree with you. He is a really bad guy. The things we are talking about, the things that this person has done, makes him an evil person. That doesn't mean he's not loved. It doesn't mean he doesn't need the Lord. It doesn't mean God's not calling out to him to receive salvation. But let's not kid ourselves. We have all fallen short. We have all sinned. So I want to ask you three questions this morning. The first is, are you saved? Again, you might say, that's a really strange question to ask in church, Pastor. But I think I've already established the reasons for asking that question. Are you saved? If you are the slightest bit unsure of what that means, or if you are truly saved, if you have any question in your mind at all, then we need to have a conversation, and very soon. Because again, time is what? Time is ticking. It's running out. Your eternal fate is of such importance that everything else can wait. There is nothing more important than securing salvation for your soul this very hour. Amen? Second question that I want to ask you this morning, is your family saved? It is joy of the greatest magnitude to see all my children in church. Now, obviously, they're not here today because they're on vacation, but especially the older ones. You know, you grow up in church, you grow up in a Christian family, you go to church all your life, you know the right things to say, you know all the right, you know, hand gestures and all of that stuff to make. But it's not until you don't have to go to church and you're on your own that the truth is really told. Amen? That's when you know it's real. When they don't have to do it because mom or dad says they do, but they come anyways. It's a joy every week to see my mother and father here, my brothers and sisters, my nieces and nephews believing upon the Lord for salvation. It's joy to know that one day, when the day comes to bury one of them, that there will be hope. There certainly will be sadness. There certainly will be tears shed. But to know that we'll be reunited in the Lord, there's no greater hope than that. Amen. Equally, there's no greater sadness or regret when one that we love loses their life and did not know the Lord. I don't know how many times I've had to help remember and bury someone that I was sure was lost in their sins. It's one of the hardest things to do, knowing that there is no hope for the one who lies in that casket. Time is ticking. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Third question. Are your friends and co-workers saved? For so many, it's a fearful thing to preach the gospel. But I'm telling you, we have to let the reality of time and eternal judgment become greater than our fear of rejection or ridicule. The eternal fate of family and friends rests on their knowledge of the saving grace of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And how will they believe? How will they know that there is a Savior who sits on heaven's throne? How will they know of the one who came to die for them unless someone tells them? Paul says in Romans 10:14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? You see, it's up to us to preach the gospel. We are the ones who carry the message as the sower. Some of the seed that you sow will be eaten by the birds. Some of it's going to fall on shallow ground. Some will fall among thorns. But if you keep sowing, there is seed that is going to fall on good soil, and it's going to take root. And it's going to grow up strong. And there will be someone in heaven because you preach the gospel. But that will never happen unless you sow the seed. And so the secret is we must keep sowing. Again, you're going to find all sorts of ground. A lot of it's going to be bad. But you keep sowing to find the good soil. This morning, can you hear the clock ticking? Yesterday again, I helped in the memorial service of a young man, just 18 years old, saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ because someone preached the gospel to him. Today, my friend Charlene is going to be remembered up in Maine. Soon her body will go back to the ground where it came from, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But her soul is with the Lord today because somebody preached the gospel to her. This afternoon, I'll go over to Hillsboro to comfort my friend who's going to lay his father to rest, believing on the promise, on his profession of faith that he is with the Lord this very hour. And that's only possible because somebody preached the gospel to him. But again, I don't know how many services I've done to lay someone to rest, knowing what the chances are that they're resting in glory, and knowing that the odds are not in their favor, and that likely they are in eternal torment because they had not received, because they had not heard, because they did not believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you hear the clock ticking? Time is ticking away. Tick, tock. Tick, tock. Tick, tock. Are you saved? Are you truly confident that you will spend eternity with the Lord? If not, get sure today. Is your family saved? If the answer is no, then go home and make a phone call. Say, we need to sit down at the kitchen table and we need to talk about something that is of eternal importance. Do your friends know the good news? If they do not, again, pick up the phone and say, we need to talk. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Charles Spurgeon, in one of my favorite quotes of all time, said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with their arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go unwarned and unprayed for. We need those who will rise up and become gospel-teers. You remember the three musketeers? One for all and all for one. We need gospel-teers. And it's not all for one. It's that one died for all. And now we give our all for him who died for us. Today is the day of salvation. This hour is the hour of salvation. Because not only might tomorrow never come, but I tell you, next hour might not come. That is the reality of the life that we live here on earth. I'll never forget. I used to say, you know, you don't know what will happen when you leave this place. You might go down to the corner and cross the street and get hit by a car. And then I remember one night when we had a man leave here on Thursday night, and he did not make it across the street. And he was struck by a car. And he went to glory right out there on the sidewalk. You do not know how much time you have, your loved ones have, or anyone else you pass in this world. Time is ticking. Eternity hangs in the balance. Amen.